The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Free weekend. Welcome back. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. TheStevenobleShow.com, as always, wherever you get your podcasts. Like, wherever. The top three, top four, top five podcast places where you'll find us there. The Steve Noble Show there. Or you can join us right here in the studio. Well, not literally, but digitally. You can join us here in the studio. Just go to the Facebook page, The Steve Noble Show, or YouTube Live if you've been banned on Facebook. Whatever works for you. Today, several stories I want to take you through that are actually not COVID-related, even though today we're calling the show COVID Cage Match, because we're going to get to that in the second segment. I'll set up a little bit of COVID conversation, and then the second half of the show, starting in the third segment at 4:32 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll have our good friend Steve Dace from The Blaze will be on, who's been blazing the trail on COVID statistics, actual factual stuff, if that matters anymore. And he's just been ripping it up and down for over a year now. So we'll have Steve Dace on the second half of the show. This Thursday, by the way, I'll be down in Waco, Texas. I'll do the show from down there. Not with Chip and Joanna, sorry. But I'll be down there on the campus of Baylor University with Dr. Thomas Kidd, PhD historian, incredible Christian, great writer. And we're going to be doing a show about U.S. history, and I'm meeting with him while I'm there to talk about how get his input, his wisdom on how I should teach U.S. history to high school age homeschoolers, because I've got three classes starting in 2 weeks. So excited about that. So that's this Thursday, and next Thursday, we're skipping Theology Thursday for a couple weeks because I had some other opportunities. But next Thursday, attorney Tony Biller has been on the show before. Great Christian, constitutional conservative, attorney Tony Biller, Thursday, August 12th, a week from this Thursday, to talk about legal challenges to vaccine mandates at your work and at your school. Whether you're a healthcare worker in your business where you happen to be employed, at least for now, or at school, because all kinds of colleges and stuff are doing COVID vaccine mandates. What are your rights? Do you have a shot? And so we'll talk to attorney Tony Biller a week from this Thursday, Dr. Thomas Kidd, about U.S. history, which should be fascinating. And then Steve Dace in the second half of the show today. All right, let's start with some non-COVID business, shall we? I'm just doing that for my own sanity, hopefully for yours as well. This one was okay. The American Medical Association, right? And it was funny because let me tell you a couple of tweets that came out first. I think it was, who was it? I think, what's his name? Ben Shapiro. When he saw this story, this just came out the other day. So much sciencing, Ben Shapiro tweeted, kind of funny. So much sciencing. And then Nikki Haley, former UN ambassador Nikki Haley, said, "This is literally the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Stop the madness." So there's another one. And so what are they talking about? What's so ridiculous? Well, here we go. American Medical Association over the weekend faced backlash after opposing putting sex on birth certificates. You know, male and female. You know what I mean? The American Medical Association is receiving criticism after its House of Delegates called for removing sex markers on birth certificates, with an advisory committee arguing that their inclusion perpetuates a view that sex is immutable, meaning set. The measure was publicized by the Board of Trustees in June and previously proposed by the House of Delegates. This is all part of the American Medical Association. It caught renewed attention after WebMD tweeted about it over the weekend, backed by the AMA LGBTQ Advisory Committee. It favors removing sex on the public portion of the birth certificate and allows, quote, that it be visible for medical and statistical use only. The committee worried that marking a person's sex at birth would encourage, quote, unquote, marginalization and minoritization. Minoritization. It's a new word for me. Minoritization, meaning making you a minor. What? Being a male or female does what? Marginalizes you and minoritizes you. We think they're so smart, right? It's the American Medical Association, but they're not in this case. Assigning sex using a binary variable. Let me bring that down to our street level. Male or female. That's a binary variable. Either male or female. In Steve Noble language, outie or ninny. Okay, pretty simple. Assigning sex using a binary variable and placing it on the public portion of the birth certificate perpetuates a view that it is immutable, even though it is, and fails to recognize the medical spectrum of gender identity. Medical spectrum? Medically, gender is binary, male or female. Of course, not when you're as woke as these guys are. Quote, participation by the medical profession and the government as assigned sex is often used as evidence supporting this binary view. Oh, you see, it's like binary, you might as well be a racist. Same thing. Imposing such a categorization system risks stifling self-expression and self-identification and contributes to marginalization and minoritization. All right, stifle self-expression and self-identification. Let me break this down for you into Christian worldview perspective. What they're talking about is idolatry of self. So anything that gets in front of my self-expression or self-identification, meaning God doesn't set the rules, God doesn't assign gender, God doesn't determine these things, I do. This is idolatry of self. This is Romans 1 that I reference every week on the show. If you really want to understand what's going on in the culture, just read Romans 1, read it 5 or 6 or 7 times, and you'll pretty much have it. We suppress the truth. What's the truth? The truth that God exists, and everybody knows that God exists because he's made it plain, okay? So there's no such thing as, so somebody says I'm an atheist. You need to understand in your mind, intellectually, faith from a faith perspective, no, they're not. There's no such thing as an atheist because God has made his existence plain in numerous ways so that men are without excuse. So because we don't want to acknowledge that truth, even though we know it's true, we suppress it, we press it down, and we replace it with a lie. And the lie from the AMA is, nothing can get in the way of an individual's self-expression or self-identification. Nothing. God. Ha! Tui. It's kind of what's going on there. But that's the AMA. Now, the American Medical Association, totally controlled by wokeism, intersectionality, and a godless worldview. That's what they are. So when we come back, somebody that's speaking out against the woke culture, somebody that you probably never watch, never listen to, but he's getting my attention more and more, is from HBO, Mr. Bill Maher himself, slamming the woke culture. Wait till you hear this. There's like 4 things that he went through. It's really amazing. He does a great job. Bill Maher, here on the Steve Noble Show, so to speak. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, featuring Bill Maher from HBO. That guy? Yeah, that guy. It's really been amazing the last, I don't know, 6 to 12 months as the woke culture has been just kind of exploding and all this other stuff going on and COVID and everything. It's interesting that Maher is in many ways becoming much more conservative, or maybe it's just got to the line in the sand for him. But this is a fascinating little thing that happened just recently. This was on the Daily Wire. Maher, Bill Maher, tortures woke culture. This is called a purge, he said. It's a mentality that belongs in Stalin's Russia. The problem with that is the vast majority of Americans don't know who Stalin is, and they don't really know anything about Russia. It's a bit of a problem, right? HBO host Bill Maher slammed woke culture and people who were complaining about cultural appropriation at the Olympics. I've got an Olympic story here in a second. Saying that the toxic ideology was something that belonged to Stalin's Russia. Here's some top lines from his segment on HBO's Real Time of Bill Maher just recently. Quote, and I'm going to, he uses some bad language here and there, so I'll edit, okay? The director of the opening ceremony, he's talking about the Olympics, was fired hours before the event because they found out there was a Holocaust joke at a comedy routine he did decades ago. Why do we allow the people who just want to, another word for complain, to always win? Days before that firing, the opening ceremony's musical director was also forced out because someone dug up an interview with him from 1994 where he admitted to bullying a classmate as a child. As a child. Remember when your teacher used to try and scare you by saying this is going to go on your permanent record? Yeah, no longer an empty threat now, Bill Maher said. Here's another one. This, and again, this is Romans 1 when we suppress the truth and replace it with a lie, okay, which is what we're doing. Autonomy, the idolatry of self. That's the spirit of the age. And Satan's mixed in with all that stuff. Quote, and the creative director of the entire shebang of the whole Olympics got canned because he once made a fat joke in a private conversation. A private conversation. So there was a snitch here somewhere, right? This is called a purge. It's a mentality that belongs in Stalin's Russia. How bad does this atmosphere we are living in have to get before the people who say cancel culture is overblown admit that is, in fact, an insanity that is swallowing up the world? Here's another one. And that is not a conservative position, my friend, says Bill Maher. He's definitely not a conservative, except in this regard. Maybe he's just logical, right-minded here, okay? My politics have not changed, but I am reacting to politics that have, and this is yet another example of how the woke invert the very thing that used to make liberals liberals. Snitches and that's not being liberal. The Associated Press is real news, is a real news organization, yeah? So why am I reading this headline in the AP? Olympic surfing exposes whitewashed native Hawaiian roots. Yeah, the Olympics added surfing this year. Good, surfers deserve to be recognized as athletes, Bill Maher said. I'm sorry, what I meant to say is, no, that's cultural appropriation. I must say, all of the violations of the woke penal code, cultural appropriation, just might be the dumbest of them all. First of all, this is so good. This is just rational, okay? It's just rational. It's not right or left, it's just rational. First of all, there are 25,000 islands in the Pacific. How do we know a Hawaiian was the first to stand on a board in the water? It seems like something anyone in any ocean would eventually get around to. And if you're a surfer, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, or in between. You all taste the same to the sharks. Great point. All right, his final point, Bill Maher from his HBO show. This new idea that each culture must remain in its own separate silo is not better, and it's not progress. And in fact, it's messing with one of the few ideas that still really does make this melting pot called America great. Not everything is about oppression, stealing natural resources from indigenous people. Not everything. Which is why this Thursday, when I'm down in Waco, not at Magnolia, not seeing Chip and Joanna, I'll be with Dr. Thomas Kidd at Baylor University. He's a PhD in history. We're going to basically talk about, I got to talk to him about the classes I'm getting ready to teach, but we're going to talk about how do you deal with racism in the history of this nation? How do you have a balanced approach to U.S. history? Because the left paints it all in one color, but even on the right, we tend to overcompensate and will not use vibrant enough colors in our difficulties from our past and our present. So both sides are playing games with our history, mostly on the left by far. It's not 50-50. It's like 90-10. But it still happens. But for me, as a Christian that's going to teach U.S. history to high school age homeschoolers, if you're going to be a Christian and I'm going to be a Christian, then what's our allegiance to? It's not the right. It's not the left. It's not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats. It's not even to the United States of America. It's to the truth. So I'm glad to see people like Bill Maher coming out swinging because his side won't listen to our side. But they might listen to him. Fascinating. All right, so the Olympics. Here we go. Laurel Hubbard, have you heard of him? I'm in trouble just because I said him. Out of weightlifting, I have to tell you, when I saw this, I was like, good, good. Transgender athlete Laurel Hubbard made Olympic history but failed to record a successful lift in the women's 87-kilogram weightlifting. And I'm like, he's not a woman. But in this story, she became the first openly transgender athlete to compete at a games in a different gender category to the one in which they were born. See, autonomy. Doesn't matter how you were born. Doesn't matter what the genetics say. Doesn't matter what science says. Be a science denier. Male is male. Female is female. But after a failed attempt to lift 120 kilograms and two failed attempts at 125 kilograms in the snatch, her competition ended. His competition ended. Hubbard said, I know that from a sporting perspective, I haven't really hit the standards that I put on myself and perhaps the standards that my country has expected of me. But one of the things for which I am profoundly grateful is that the supporters of New Zealand have given me so much and have been beyond astonishing. I'd like to thank the New Zealand Olympic Committee. They have supported me through what has been quite difficult times. Now listen to this. This is interesting. I know that my participation at these games has not been entirely without controversy, but they have been just so wonderful, and I'm so grateful to them. It hasn't been entirely without controversy? There's been a lot of controversy around this, which, by the way, it goes all the way back to 2004. In 2004, the Olympic Committee permitted transgender athletes to take part in the Olympics. Since 2015, its stipulations have stated athletes who have transitioned from male to female can compete in women's sports, you know, because that's fair, without requiring surgery. So you just make an identification, right? Autonomy, the idolatry of self. I am a woman because I said I am. As long as they have declared their gender identity as female for at least 4 years and kept their testosterone level below 10 nanomoles per liter for at least 12 months. Normal for men is between 20 and 30. Women's testosterone levels between 0.7 and 2.8. So they just get jacked up on testosterone to try to manipulate the physical realities of the male body to try to be more like a woman. Suppress the truth. Replace it with a lie. Okay? That's the deal. All right, there's this one. I'll get to this one maybe tomorrow. I don't think I have time. I'll try. Australia sends an army to enforce Sydney lockdown. It's all setting up nicely, isn't it? Eschatology-wise, end times-wise, it's really setting up nicely. Australia has deployed hundreds of soldiers to Sydney to help enforce an extended COVID lockdown. A Delta outbreak, which began in June, so we're talking 2 months now, has produced nearly 3,000 infections and led to 9 deaths. 3,000 infections. Sydney's not a small city. And we're talking about 2 months where they get 3,000 COVID positives and 9 deaths. And they send in the military, hundreds of soldiers to Sydney. Wow. The lockdown in place until at least 28th of August bars people from leaving their home except for essential exercise, shopping, caregiving, and other reasons. Australian Defense Force soldiers would join the police in virus hotspots to ensure people are following the rules, which include a 6.2-mile travel limit. The police state, it's all setting up nicely. So if you're in Christ, be encouraged, friends, because everything he said is going to happen is happening. We'll be right back with Steve Dace from The Blaze. Welcome back. Hey, it's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Turning the corner. Okay, picture this. Pay-per-view. And the prize is saving the entire globe, saving all 7+ billion people, 7+ billion people on the globe. So you're going to have a cage match, and the fight is over how you deal with COVID. And then on one team, in one corner, ladies and gentlemen, you have Sweden and India. And in the other corner, you have Pope Fauci and de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, and Cuomo, the governor of New York. And you're going to throw down, you're going to put all your money, all your savings, everything you got on one team versus the over in the COVID cage match. Who are you going to go with? Because that's about what we're thinking here. If you're going to go follow the science, but now I'm saying follow the political science, somebody that knows that better than pretty much most of us, if not all of us, is our good friend Steve Dace from The Blaze, live every weekday, Monday through Friday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern time on Glenn Beck's network, Steve Dace. Steve Dace, how are you, buddy? Hey, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good to be
what here. Are you even in your 40s yet?
Oh, I'm 48.
Oh, I feel so much better. Okay, good. Thank you. All right, so cage match. This is crazy, and I want you to talk about Sweden and India and what we can learn there if we're going to bother paying attention to the facts versus the way we've done it here in America, and you've been putting out so much great information for over a year and a half now, Steve, but recently just one, it's just an onslaught of facts and actual science versus political science. So where do we stand now? Which cage match team are you going with?
Well, I mean, I would take just about anything within the 9 realms of sentient beings over Fauciism, okay? Like, if the Taliban called up and said, hey, we've got a COVID mitigation plan, I'm at least going to listen.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look at Sweden, I mean, in July they had 9 total COVID deaths. 9. They catalog deaths there the same as we do, meaning anytime somebody dies with a positive COVID sample, it's cataloged as a COVID death, regardless of underlying cause or amount of comorbidities. It's the least masked country in the EU. Estimates are below 9% of Swedes mask. It was the least locked down country in the EU. They are doing a vaccine offensive right now, but they've only got 41% of their population fully vaccinated as of yesterday. That's still about 10% behind us. So when you look at all those numbers, and you know what they did is actually built immunity up in the population and then vaccinated, which is the way we have actually done this forever, This is the first time we've ever attempted to do something live during the ascendancy of a pandemic with this sort of a mass vaccination program. So they built up immunity in the populace and then began vaccinating them. And I mean, they kind of followed the pre-COVID script of what we do with outbreaks. And
right.
The math speaks for itself.
As if there is a creator somewhere that created the human body with an ability to fight off viruses that attack it by producing antibodies as well as the T-cell mechanism. As if that were like something that's out there.
Well, I think it's an important distinction because, I mean, I know people who are friends of mine who are constantly checking their antibody levels to see if they still have COVID antibodies. Folks, if your body kept producing antibodies prevalently for everything you have a past infection for,
oh,
you
man.
Would look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Okay?
Exactly.
And so, I mean, that's what your cellular memory is, kind of your body's virological equivalent of a cloud system. And so it kind of stores a record of that immunity in there so that if it encounters that again, you can go into that record and recognize that it's fought that off in the past. So there's just so much misinformation out there, so much denial of fourth and fifth grade biology, let alone high school or college. And it's because the science we're doing right now and have been doing all this time predominantly is political science. Well,
right.
now the political science is working against them, Steve, because people are growing beyond impatient with this. The idea that, you know, there's been a cadre of us that pushed back on this from the beginning. And then there's another group that thought, hey, I'll follow the directions and then we'll wait to get vaccinated and then we'll get our lives back. And they did all that, only to be now told that you're super spreaders, so mask up again. And so now what they've done is they've ticked both of these branches off at the exact same time against them. You have Fauci and the CDC. They can't even get on the same page about their own narrative. You have Francis Collins went out there over the weekend and called this a, quote, new virus. No, it's not. If anything, it's not even a Delta variant. It's the same virus we had before, just with the same Sunbelt wave we had last summer. There's a better chance of that than it's a new virus. They can't even get on. Now you got Michael Osterholm, who's an actual scientist, by the way. As I told you before, he actually tries doing science.
Yeah.
And then everybody, then what happens? He gets shouted down and he says, Yas Queen to the spirit of the age. But he went on CNN today and say, hey, man, your masks, you don't work. They never have worked. Okay. So their narratives are kind of falling apart upon each other right now because the real time data contradicts pretty much everything they're saying.
Exactly right, which is why we keep talking about follow the political science rather than the science. And we're talking to Steve Dace from The Blaze, actually the author of co-author of Fauci and Bargain, which you can get everywhere. I just put the link up again on the Facebook live feed. But so the question is always, all right, so what happened here as we kind of do the pathology of it? Because I think Fauci's trying to cover his rear end the whole time. There was that super long article we both saw over the weekend or maybe on Friday that goes back into looking. Is Fauci's all about covering his rear end because the gain of function research and the money that's flowed from the United States by one route or another over to the lab in Wuhan? And then you've got the fact that they just decided to throw down with Fauci's read on all of this, which was self-serving. And because of the political science, there's no way, no matter what the evidence is, no matter what people say, these guys just aren't going to back down. That's the spirit of the age and their pride, because that would mean they would have to admit that they were wrong. I just don't think they're capable of that. So what's the pathology as to why Fauci and the Trump administration, and then obviously the Biden administration, have thrown down on this and maintain this position regardless of what science says?
I don't know. I just know that all the potential options are bad. Okay. I think some of it is bureaucratic stubbornness, and you just have a particular worldview that dominates our institutions, this sort of utopian progressive, ye be like God worldview. I think that some of it is worldview bias. I think some of it is track covering, as you indicated, so we don't ever go back and find out what the true origins of the virus are. I happen to believe that the origin of the virus is that it's the alpha variant of their attempts to come up with a preemptive vaccine for the next SARS or MERS. That's what I believe. So I believe they created it, and then at least from the lab. But all those is it just, you know, big government ineffectiveness and dysfunction? I mean, I think the answers to all those questions is yes, Steve. escape. I think
all of the above,
do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. A man will always reap what he sows. These three things: corruption, worldview desecration or sacrilege, and then incompetence. Those three things are, pardon the pun, at a pandemic level in America's institutions, and I think they're all coming home to roost right now. And the problem that they're having politically is a whole other layer of parents, regardless of how they voted in the last election. You know, all branch Covidians might have voted Biden, but not all Biden voters are branch Covidians. They're tired of masking their kids, too. They're tired of the duplicity, too. And so they're scrambling right now to figure out how to hold on to a narrative that is eluding them.
Yeah, which is that's the fascinating political science part of this, is to watch their point counterpoint and how they're going to deal with this, because they've got a midterm election coming up next year.
There's
this is all styling up against
them. There's a way out of this, Steve, and that's just to be honest.
Right.
Just admit the vaccines, the data shows, do almost nothing to mitigate transmission of the virus, but they are so far proving to be some variation of an effective therapeutic, okay? But here's the problem if they do that. See, a lot of our generation and people behind us, when they hear vaccine, they think that word means the vaccine cocktail you and I got before we went to public school that was like 11 or 17 vaccines for like measles and mumps and stuff like this, right? That's what they think.
Right.
They think the word immunizer, when in reality they're often not anymore. They're therapeutics. They're designed to mitigate the severity of symptoms, like the flu vaccine, for example. Okay. And so if they admit that this thing is a therapeutic, a lot of this industry that is built up, and this is my editor Todd calls it magical thinking, that is built up around vaccines is sort of like a magic elixir or a magic bean, that there's different types of vaccines. There's therapeutics, there's inoculators, there's immunizers. But they don't want to draw those distinctions because it makes them a lot of money to tell people to believe that just getting this shot means I'll never get this. Now we've got a U.S. senator who was fully vaccinated with a breakthrough case in Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
All right. And so if they just came clean and told the truth, then they would then. But see, the problem is it not only gives up kind of part of the industry and the money around the vaccination industry, but it also greatly diminishes the amount of claim for any form of vaccine mandate. Okay.
Exactly right. Yep.
Admitting that this thing doesn't do much to slow the transmission. And we see
that
in our country and in other countries.
That's right. We're talking to Steve Daze from The Blaze, the Faucian bargain. You got time for one more segment, Steve?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be right back with Steve Daze. Let's talk about what's going on in India, because that's also amazing. We'll be right back. Okay, friends, so you want to know what makes Pope Fauci tick? Well, good luck with that. Although there are a lot of things that can be known about Pope Fauci and everything that's gone on there. The science versus the political science of what Fauci has done over the course of the last year and a half, including his entire career. Really, you got to look back at all of it. So if you really want to get up to speed, there's a lot of revelation here in this book, The Faucian Bargain by Steve Daze with Todd Erzin. And it's just fantastic, which is why it became a bestseller. It's all over the place. And if you really, you got to look into this, because fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that's where we're at. So what about the next time? Because these things are never going to go away. Coronavirus, COVID-19, is just like the flu. It's here to stay. It's not going to disappear. So what do you do? How do you handle that? And are we to the point of no return in this country where people, even people that voted for Joe Biden and are vaccine people, are like, okay, I did all this stuff. I jumped through all the hoops, but now you're telling me put a mask back on. I can't go here. I can't go there. I got to put a mask on my kids, yada, yada, yada. Even though children in this country, if you go 29 down to zero, okay, statistically insignificant in terms of death. If you go up to 65 plus COVID deaths in America, the way we record them, 78.9% of all COVID deaths in America were over 65 years of age. And what about teachers, Steve? The average age of a public school teacher in America is 42. From 40 to 49, their percentage of the population of the deaths, all COVID deaths, 3%. So I think, like you're saying, Steve, that maybe a decent size of this country is beginning to wake up to the realities of it and just are sick of playing the game. But I don't know if that's wishful thinking or not.
So, I mean, the most updated data that our CDC provides says that currently the infection fatality rate for COVID, meaning people that never got tested, so they never confirmed that they had a confirmed case, found out later they had antibodies, et cetera. The infection fatality rate in America right now for those under the age of 65 is 0.5 or lower. So that means if you're under 65, before we even stratify for comorbidity, there's a 99.5% chance at least that you will survive a COVID infection. And then it just goes up the younger we go. The current case fatality rate in America for COVID is 0.59, which is a 93% decline, Steve, from where we were at our peak in April of 2020. So that's just simply dividing the amount of cases, pardon me, by the amount of deaths.
Right.
And that's before we stratify for comorbidity or for age. So that would mean that you would have a 99.41% chance if you test positive for COVID today, regardless of age or comorbidity, your baseline is a 99.4% chance of survival. You look at our overall numbers. In July, we had only 8,300 deaths with COVID. Last July, Steve, we had more than 9,300 the last week of July alone. Currently, in July, we averaged 270 deaths with COVID per day. That would make COVID the seventh worst killer in the country, despite all of the media fixation, slightly ahead of diabetes. And we're, you know, it's no longer considered an epidemic according to the CDC's own threshold. So by any reasonable measure, when you look at the data, we are doing very, very well. The Delta variant, like most mutations, is showing to be more transmissible, less lethal.
Yeah.
We've seen that in every country, including the country where it originated, India. Now, India, with a paltry vaccination rate, did have higher death numbers before it reached its cliff and went down than what we've seen in the UK and are seeing now in Israel. But the amount of breakthrough cases in Israel is pretty breathtaking, actually. They're reporting about 40% of their new cases are people fully vaccinated.
Wow.
Less than 1% of their new cases are people that were known to have been infected and recovered, or natural immunity. So what the numbers in Israel are really showing us, as the second most vaccinated modern country in the world, United Arab Emirates is the most. What Israel's data is showing us is that when it comes to transmission pushback, these vaccines are either not effective or losing their efficacy with ensuing variants. But they remain fairly effective therapeutics in helping to mitigate death. That's what most of the data is showing us around the world.
Yeah, and that's why India is fascinating, because their vaccination rate is a whopping, I think it's 6.3 or 6.5%.
Yeah, it's under 7% for a country that has three times the population
right.
of the U.S., U.K., and Israel combined. Yeah.
1.3 billion people, and they released a national blood survey last week, I think it was on Tuesday, mm-hmm. where they showed two-thirds of the people in India, they're saying two-thirds of the people in India have antibodies, which means it ravaged its way through the country, and then God's system kicked in, and now you've got all these people, because now they're down 90, 95% on all mm-hmm. the bad numbers in about 60 days. Really miraculous turnaround there.
Yes. Now, they did have a higher death toll because they have more people, so the total numbers are relevant
sure.
in comparison. They had their deaths escalated along with their cases at a far higher rate than either what we saw in Israel and the UK. Still, their peak death day of 5,000 in a nation of 1.4 billion is a fairly insignificant statistic. Now, people will push back and say, well, India is lying about their numbers. Well, first of all, India is not Venezuela. It is a democracy. Like, politicians have
right.
to get votes there, okay? But if, let's say they were lying about their death numbers, then why would they lie about their vaccination
right.
numbers too? Why wouldn't they say, well, we got 66% vaccinated instead of 6.7? Why would they only lie one way? You know what I'm saying? That doesn't make any sense. But even if their numbers are a little flawed, and they probably are, because you have a permanent underclass there
sure.
into a caste system. So do they even count those people as deaths? You know what I'm saying? Do they just write them off, you know, as less than human? We don't know the answer to that. That's why I wouldn't be so fixated on the actual numbers, but the trend line.
Yeah.
India, this is why I don't believe you can make the case that these vaccines don't have any worth combined with the adverse side effects, because we still have to confront the fact that India is reported at least a 3,000% increase in deaths at the same time that their cases were escalating. And we didn't see anything close to that in the more vaccinated right. countries like Israel and the UK. So on some level, we have to wrestle with that. But on the other hand, if you think that the vaccines are magic elixirs, and people keep saying, well, I'm vaccinated, I won't be around you because you're not vaccinated. You know, about 8 years ago, I went down with a small group, me, Stephen Baldwin, and a few people, Kevin McCullough. We went and did a trip in Haiti, a mission trip, Steve.
Yeah.
And before I went down there, the Obama administration made sure I had all my boosters and everything updated because of how third world this country is. How come I was able to update my vaccines and go down to Haiti and touch things and people and come back here and not infect everybody else?
Right.
Do you know the answer to that, Steve? Because I was vaccinated. Okay.
Yes.
That's why they weren't worried about me bringing whatever was going on down in Haiti back here with me, because I was vaccinated. So your vaccines not work then? This logic doesn't make any sense. And it's because they don't want to admit to you that these vaccines don't immunize. They're therapeutics.
Okay? They help
so
blunt
that
the effect.
Their entire business model
right.
and messaging approach. And so they don't want to admit that.
Yeah, because that's not great marketing. Once you've got the U.S. government shelling out, you know what, $1 billion maybe at this point in terms of paying for these vaccines, that's just mm-hmm. not good marketing. You wouldn't sell them. You wouldn't sell as many that way. So why would you do that? Of course you wouldn't. What do you make, Steve, of the VAERS system? We've got the voluntary adverse effects system that was put into place by the CDC and the NIH about 30 years ago. And a lot of anti-vaccination people are pointing to that. What do you do with those numbers? Because they're significant. They're showing more problems.
They are significant.
Including deaths.
So, Steve, we have, according to CDC, out of our 626,000 plus deaths, 338 of them have been minors under the age of 18. Okay.
Yep.
However, according to CDC's VAERS database, 42 of the 6,000 plus deaths have been minors. When you look at that ratio, that means far more higher percentage likelihood of children dying after a COVID vaccination
yeah.
than dying of COVID itself, which is why there should be no rush whatsoever to put these in the children. They're neither vectors nor victims of the virus. We don't know what the long-term side effects are of this mRNA technology. And so as a parent for me, I mean, I'm just far more concerned with my elderly in-laws. I'm far more concerned about COVID. With my children, I'm far more concerned about the COVID vaccines.
Yeah.
And so I think that people are very wise to be hesitant where that is concerned. But I would also say this too, okay, there's going to be more reports of side effects just because, A, of the sheer volume of people we're injecting,
right, right.
and B, there's more focus on this than any vaccination effort in our lifetimes, probably since polio a half a century ago, okay? And so that will skew the numbers, but even if you account for that, there's a troubling amount of numbers there, no question about it.
Yeah, and so the last thing for you, and I've got a great attorney coming on the show next week, but for all the vaccine mandates that are being put in place through the private sector, the federal government doesn't have to do it. They're going to let the corporate world do it and colleges and universities. What are you saying to people, or do you have any advice at this point, Steve, yet for people that are saying, okay, if I don't do this, if I don't get the vax, I lose my job. Healthcare, other businesses, Walmart, all these people are doing it. What's your reaction to that? We're almost done.
I think you need to organize with fellow coworkers, and they can't fire all of you. The only national legal entity I've seen willing to step in and fight for us on this issue, Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel,
yeah.
I'd give him a call for sure.
Yep, absolutely. We have to stand up and fight, or you'll just continue to get bowled over. Steve Dace with The Blaze, The Fauci and Bargain, available everywhere. I've got the link for Amazon up on the website and up on the Facebook Live show today. Steve, thanks so much as always for your time and for all your work, pal. We appreciate you.
You got it, brother. Take care.
All right. See ya. Thanks. Steve Dace, the one and only. Just a wealth of knowledge. Not a cure. Did you catch that? Not a cure. They're therapeutics. So you get the vaccines. That's not 100% protection that you'll get it, but it'll help you if you do. But don't tell anybody, because that's bad marketing. All right. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing. And like my dad always used to say, and I hear this more and more in my head these days, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.